Dear friends in Jesus Christ, many people, I believe, have a practice of writing things down they want to remember. I know I do that. I make a lot of lists and notes on things. Imagine how it would be. A student gets a homework assignment and maybe gets a homework assignment from a number of different classes. So what do? You write a list of what homework you need to do. If you're going to get ready to go to the grocery store, you could have it in your mind what to buy, but it's going to work out better if you write a list down. If you think about a church like ours, I could just try to kind of have in my mind who the members are and who the members aren't, but we find it better to make an actual list so we don't forget any of our members. So making a list can be a good thing. Having a prayer list can be a good thing. Having a structured way to go to God in prayer can be helpful. That's what I want to talk about today. The first thing I want to talk about would be the Acts prayer format. And we could talk about it in a lot of detail, but let me just simplify it like this. We have the word Acts, so we have the letters A-C-T-S, and then we make a word out of each letter. So we come up with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. One thing that people commonly do is they get mixed up between adoration and thanksgiving. In other words, they begin to thank God when they're supposed to be adoring him. So how do we make the distinction there? To adore God is to adore him for who he is. To thank him is to thank him for what he does. So who he is, what he does. Now, in the sermon copy, if you pick up a copy of it, you'll see a listing of 13 words. And those words are out of the Small Catechism, and those are qualities about God. For example, God is eternal, God is unchangeable, God is almighty, and so on. So when we go to God in prayer, we can begin by adoring him for a quality of who he is. Then, of course, we go on in the prayer, and we are recognizing that we are sinners, so we are confessing those sins. We go on to thank God for the many blessings he has showered upon us, especially his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then when we come to supplication, what is supplication? In that word, you can kind of see the word supply. So finally, we are saying, dear God, by the way, would you please supply me with these things that I need? Now, does God know what we need before we even ask? He does. So why even ask? I believe in the process of asking, we are showing our trust in God, and we are showing our dependence upon God. There are many ways to use the prayer, but let me give you an example of what you could pray if you would take, let's say, for example, thinking about God being holy and then carrying that right through. So we could pray like this. We could say, dear Father in heaven, we adore you because you are holy. You are sinless. We confess that we have sinned and we are unholy, but we thank you for sending Jesus to make us holy in your sight through his finished work. Please supply us with the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of your word so we might live holy lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that way you're taking the Acts format and following right through with it. You could apply that in any situation. Let's say you're with someone and you want to say a prayer, follow that format. Thanksgiving Day, you want to say a Thanksgiving prayer, follow that format. So it's real easy to remember, real easy to follow. I want to refer real quickly to the Prayer Basics 1 brochure. It's something I wrote years ago and preached on at one time a long time ago. But the main thing I want to point out in this folder is it has actually 22 different prayers that you could pray. And these are great prayers for anybody to learn and pray. Some of them you already know. Many of them you probably don't know. This is a wonderful resource to use for parents to use with their children and so on. One of my favorites in here is one you've heard me mention before, but let me just say it now again anyway. But I think about the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayers. There are three of them in here. And the one I like the best would be, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. But if I wake before I die, I pray, dear Lord, please show me why. So if we, here we are today. If we happen to wake up tomorrow morning, That means that God is giving us another day. So what should we do? We should say, "Dear God, thank you for the day you've given me. Help me that I might know and follow your will for this day that you have given." So it's a wonderful way to go to sleep at night, and also a wonderful way to wake up knowing that God has a plan for our lives. Many other wonderful prayers as well in here. You don't have a copy of this in the bulletin, but there are copies in the rack by our main entrance. Also, it's available on our church website. In part three of today's sermon, I want to talk a little bit about this folder called Guidance for My Daily Prayers. Some of you have a copy of it already. You might have an older version of it. You can see there's a date at the top, and from time to time, we will give you a new version of it. But this one would have something to pray about every day of the week. It would have the leadership team listed here. Our various teachers in the church are listed, and many various topics. Sometimes what I've found, if I don't have a list like this to follow, what happens is in my own mind, I'm thinking more about what's going on in my own life. So those things become the focus of my prayers. I'm not thinking so much about other people and other situations. But by having a folder like this to guide your prayers, you'll find that you're praying not only for yourself, you're praying for others within your church, you're praying for your neighbors, you're praying for people even around the world. So it ends up broadening our prayer life by using a folder like this. If you look at the back down at the bottom, it kind of has information as to how to make use of this folder. But what I do is I take a folder like this, and then everything else I have that has to do with prayer, I put it inside. That way I have that all in one place. Then I keep it also with my Bible, with my portals of prayer, with my meditations. I have that all together, and those become all of my daily devotion resources then. I encourage you to think about doing something similar. Going now to the fourth part, we look at some of the resources that are in this little folder. And we find, first of all, what I call the care bookmark. And the whole idea here is you can identify a couple people that you know that your best guess would be, based on what they say, what they do, how they function in life, they probably do not yet know Jesus as Savior. So what you do with it, you simply put their names on the lines up at the top, and then you can insert their names as you work down through. And this is a wonderful way to be able to pray for them. That first of all, there's a very logical progression to the prayer. So from God getting their attention to showing them the truth, bringing them to Christ, rooting them in Christ, getting them into the Word of God, helping them to join a Bible-believing church, and so on. So all of that is in there. So I challenge you to think of at least a couple people, put their names on there, and pray for them on a regular basis. Also, too, as you're praying for them, part of the prayer is you are saying, "Dear God, if I have the opportunity, help me that I might share your word with one or more of those people." So what should you be doing now? You should be equipping yourself so that when the time comes, you know the Word of God and you're able to share it. So I put some Bible passages in the sermon here. You could think about those or others. You could think about the passage where it says, "All have sinned." You can think about you can think about John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." You can think about 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins." And you can also think about 1 John 5:12, "He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." Four very basic passages that if you knew those by memory, God would bless you, and then you would be equipped to be able to share some very important parts of God's Word with others. So I want to encourage you to think about putting those to memory. Another item we have there is this little blue and white color card, and this is to remind you that we do have 5 Stephen ministers who are members here at Bethlehem. And I invite you to think about praying for them. So we have Jim and Alan and Jerry and Millie and Rachel. Those are our 5 Stephen ministers. So please pray that God would bless them and use them. And then also, too, as you think about this card, each time you open your prayer folder, you might say, "Hey, I have someone in my neighborhood," or "I can think of so-and-so at church," or "I know this friend of mine really could be blessed by the work of a Stephen minister." So if you know of someone that could use that blessing, talk to either myself or to Jim Schaible, our Stephen leader, and God will help us to make the connection, and hopefully we can be a great blessing to them. So please use the card as a reminder to pray and also to even make a referral. Finally, in concluding our three-week series here on the topic of prayer, I want to share with you some of the favorite passages of mine on the topic. So first of all, we come to Psalm 55:22, and it says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Don't all of us from time to time have burdens as individuals, as families, as churches? What are we to do with them? To let them drag us down and destroy us? By no means. God is saying, cast them on me, and I will carry you through. God promises never will He allow us to be overwhelmed. He is there to help us. God wants us to know that, so because He's made the offer, He is saying, take advantage of it. Throw those things on me, and let me help you through. Another one would be Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, somewhat toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. If you look at the very first word there, the word is ask. So if you wanted to memorize those two verses, you have a great help with the first word. Because in the word ask, we have the letters A-S-K. And what is the focus in verses 7 and 8? Ask, seek, knock. So it makes it a real easy way to memorize. What did Jesus say? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Sometimes we do not have because we have not asked. Or sometimes we try every possible way on our own to be able to fix something or work something out, and finally we're like, God, I give up. I can't do it. What should I do? Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe I should go to God in prayer. Is that a good pattern? Isn't it better to say, God, I've got this thing going on here, and before I do anything, I'm going to go to you in prayer so that you can help me through this situation in the best way. I don't want to waste my time. I want to go about it in the very best way. So I'm going to start with prayer and look to you, dear Lord, to help me through. That is the best way to begin, always with prayer, just like in the hymn that we sang. Another favorite passage would be in John 15:7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." Doesn't that sound like impossible? Does God give us everything we ask for? There are some important things there. First of all, Jesus said, "If you abide in me." So it's important that we are trusting in Him alone as our Savior. We know what He did in living in our place. We know what He did in dying for our sins. Our confidence is in Him. Not only that, but we are continuing in the Word of God. And what is contained in the Word of God? But the will of God. So now, being in Christ and armed with the will of God from the Word of God, we go to God in prayer, but how are we asking Him now? We are asking Him as His dear children. We are asking in agreement with His will because it has come right from His Word. And when we ask in that way, hey, He's going to answer according to what we ask. So that's the basis of Jesus' promise that whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. And then finally, one of my favorites too in Philippians 4, you've heard it over and over again, but such a good one. It says, be anxious for nothing. How many of us get anxious about things? Probably all of us, at least once a week, we're anxious about something, and some people live in anxiety all the time. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. That doesn't matter how small it is, how great it is, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what is the idea? God is offering us like this greatest trade, you know, in the universe, and that would be to take all the negative stuff in our life and give it to God, then receive back from God his perfect peace. Well, what a deal. There is a greater trade, though. That would be when we take all of our sins and give those to God and receive in return the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That would be the greater trade, but this would maybe be second, to take all those anxieties, God wants them, and receive back his peace. What's important to remember when it comes to peace? Peace is not talking about the absence of war. Peace is especially talking about our relationship with God through Christ. If we are diagnosed with terminal cancer, does that change our relationship with God? It doesn't. We still have peace with God in Christ. If we lose our job, does that change things here? It doesn't. There's still peace between us and God through Jesus Christ. If our family is falling apart, does that change our relationship with God through Christ? It doesn't. So God wants us to know, no matter what is going on, we have the greatest blessing of all in Jesus Christ. And having Jesus Christ, that means that God is our Father. He is almighty in power. Whatever the situation is, hey, he can help us through it. So God is saying, don't hang on to those problems. Give those to me and rest in peace, knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing that I'm in control, knowing that somehow, some way, I'm going to help you through this situation. So God is saying not only to know these things, but to do them and to reap the benefits. May God bless you richly in your prayer life as you go to God the Father on the basis of your relationship with Jesus and also with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. May God help us to pray often, to pray for many and various situations, and may God help us to live in great peace, knowing that we are his forgiven children in Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.